Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
It's that all born radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Show live here in the Southern RV Wholesale Studio. Lovely North Alabama. It's good to be back. Go to srvwholesale.com. When price is priority number one for you when searching for a fifth wheel, travel trailer, toy hauler, motorhome class A, class C, go to Southern RV Wholesale right there on Jordan Lane, 1707 Jordan Lane here in Huntsville. Call 256-327-8585, 327-8585. Looking for the best deal on a fifth wheel, a towable, toy hauler, Class A, Class C motorhome? Listen, there's a lot of different ways you can check out their inventory. SRVWholesale.com or stop by Jordan Lane. Click the fire sale tab at SRVWholesale.com. You're going to see the absolute best deals in the nation on any towable or motorhome. There's pre-owned motorhomes you can finance on site. They still have the parts and service department right there. RV rentals also available at srvwholesale.com. So keep them in mind with fall slowly approaching. I mean, Arky mentioned it, 11 days until practice begins. We're 50 That's days stupid. Away from kickoff.
Yeah.
So wow. If you're planning on tailgating and you need a vehicle to do it in, now is the time to head over to Southern RV Wholesale if price is priority number one for you. Go to srvwholesale.com. I also had a chance to visit with the Auburn head football coach yesterday. Gus Malzahn stopped by the table to talk with us at SEC Media Days 2017. This is our conversation that we had with Coach Malzahn yesterday afternoon. Welcome back in SEC Media Days 2017. Auburn head football coach Gus Malzahn joining us now on the show. It's different to go on the final day. You've been doing media days a lot now. Is this something that you like more, like less?
I tell you what, I think I've kicked it off the last 3 years. And being the last day, it's completely different. And I kind of like it the way it is.
We're exhausted. We just want to go home and sleep in our own beds, have a normal day. Speaking of normal day, it's not going to be normal for much longer. The season's going to kick off, but a lot of things are different for you and your football team this offseason. Coming out of spring football, what have you noticed most that still needs to be addressed about your football team before you kick off against Georgia Southern?
Well, you know, first of all, I really like our team. And like I said earlier, we got a hungry team. They got a chip on their shoulder. They got something to prove. That's the positive. You know, I think for me, just being the head coach, is the stress of let's get to fall camp, the first day of camp, healthy and ready to go with no issues off the field or anything. And there hadn't been any drama. And that's a tribute to our leaders. And when you don't have drama and you have a hungry team, that usually leads to some good things. So just right now before fall camp starts, you know, I'm feeling good as I can. Now, once we get to fall camp, we've got to figure out who our quarterback is. I mean, obviously. But like I said, the good thing is we've got two very talented guys at that position.
Figuring out who the quarterback is, a big deal. Figuring out the offensive line, the five that are going to be there. I'm a big believer in that group needs continuity, needs unity. They need to gel.
No doubt.
How close are you to knowing maybe not who the five will be that play, but where they're going to line up?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be a very important deal. That'll be just as important as who the starting quarterback is at the end of the day as well. You know, Braden Smith, I mean, I think we're pretty set on him playing right tackle.
Okay.
And, you know, that's really if you can put your veteran guys and plug them in and then – it makes everything else good. But like we've talked before, I feel like we have quality depth. We have some experience. There's nothing like experience in our league up front. And so we just got to figure out who's going to play where, and we'll do that, you know, early in fall camp.
Is it a situation where I know I'll study Kentucky or I'll study Ole Miss? You know, they'll roll the second group in. I haven't seen you do a lot of that in the past. Is that something maybe that you would like to do but you haven't been able to, or do you like to just stick with five?
Well, I tell you what, I really have a comfort with eight guys going into the year.
But you like to use one extra tackle a lot anyway.
Yeah, so. and if we're heavy at tackles, they'll play an extra tight end. We're going to get them on the field. But, you know, I believe you have to have three tackles, three guards, and two centers.
Okay.
And if you can go into a season with that, then you got a chance to stay healthy enough and still be very consistently good. But you're exactly right. You know, the continuity of the guy beside you in those game reps and the communication and the adjustments you got to make, I firmly believe in.
Especially when you're going fast, and you guys are still going to go fast.
That's right.
You don't have time to make the extra call, or if there's a youngster or a guy that hasn't been around to even look left or right to get a call from another
guy.
You need to know.
That's exactly right.
Gus Malzahn, head football coach for the Auburn Tigers, joining us at SEC Media Days live on Radio Row. Heading into this season, you've talked about handing the play calling over to Chip Lindsey. So we know that role will change for you.
Yeah.
How will your role change, or what will it be from a game planning perspective when it comes to the offensive side of the football during the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll still be a part of the game planning. There's no doubt about that. But really, I'm going to be more involved in the special teams than I have in the past. That's an area that, you know, I'm excited about. And really, like I've said before, just being able to spend more one-on-one time with your players during the season. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Now, let's be honest. You say you're going to spend more time with the special teams.
Yeah.
You got the best kicker in the country. So it's
kind
of easy
to
come
that.
Out at the end of the season and say, I told you guys I was going to be working with those special teams there.
Yeah.
That makes it a little bit easier.
You know, when you're the head coach, you know, you can strategically put yourself in a situation. No, but, you know, Daniel Carson, you're exactly right. I mean, he's not just the best kicker. I think he's one of the biggest weapons. I mean, you're talking about when you get across midfield, if you're within 55 yards, there's a high, high percentage you're going to have 3 points. And then kicking the ball off, it all but eliminates their kickoff return. So he's a huge weapon.
Do you concern yourself at all with the other side of that? Now, we debated this on the show earlier this week.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful feeling for you and for Chip Lindsey and the guys offensively on the field to know we get inside the 50, the 40, the 30. Yeah. We don't come up with a first down or a touchdown, and we have to kick a field goal. We're probably getting three. That's great.
Yeah.
What do you worry at all about the other side of that, of once that offense covers maybe the 40, past the 40, of saying, well, we got three, so it's all good. We don't necessarily have to worry about it. Maybe how do you instill that killer instinct of still wanting to score a touchdown on every play and not settling for field goals?
Well, I don't think that's going to be an issue with our offense at all. They want to score touchdowns, and there's no doubt. I think it's a luxury. You know, the biggest thing from a coaching standpoint is when to go for it. You know, when you need to kind of be aggressive to go for it to try to get seven and not take a 55-yard field goal. That's probably the biggest thing, because your players, they want to score touchdowns.
Absolutely.
So, but from a coaching standpoint, but I think it's a great luxury. But just from a coach standpoint, we got to strategically know when you want to go for it on fourth and short, or when you want to kick a field goal.
What are you most excited about with your defense year two under Kevin Steele?
Well, you know, from last spring to this spring, it was night and day. Our defense has that edge and that confidence that it takes to be a big-time defense. Now, what we've got to do, we lost Carl and we lost Montrevious. If we can rush the passer as good as a unit as we did last year, we got a chance to be better.
Absolutely.
So, really, that's our big question mark going this season.
Coach Malzahn, thank you for the time. Great stuff. Best of luck this season.
All right. Thanks for having me.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Everybody gets a War Eagle, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't give Jake Bentley a War Eagle.
You got to set the tone.
What do you say? Like, go Cox to, like, Jake Bentley?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Is that the thing? You know more about
Stay
Columbia.
Cocky.
Stay cocky. Stay cocky, Jake.
What are the things they have on their
spurs?
Legs? Yeah, spurs up. That's what they say.
Oh,
spurs up. Yeah.
Oh, it's either an NBA team or a rooster running around pretending to be
a
football team.
Yeah, that's what they have. That's what it is.
I know.
Put that thing on the goalpost, I think.
Do you like the – no one ever really talks about their live mascot.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. I'm down with it.
Really? It's a rooster. It's a big old rooster.
Yeah, but they're the Gamecocks. I'm surprised PETA, where we are in today's society, PETA hasn't stepped in and said, you need to change your mascot. you're promoting the fighting of animals.
Well, yeah, that's what we do. It's tigers versus gamecocks versus elephants versus bulldogs. That's what we do. So, but you heard there Gus talk about not only Daniel Carlson being a huge weapon for them, but I thought it was interesting you asked him about sort of the day-to-day game planning, and that he said he would still be involved with putting together a game plan, but just not the calling of the offense during the week. And I'm interested from your standpoint, where does that differentiation lie? Like, where does my offense melding into Chip Lindsey's offense melting into actual game calling? Where's the delineation? Where's the difference? Like, it feels like it's still going to have a firm grip on generally the offense.
This is another concern for me, and it's. I think we have gotten a little bit carried away with, is Malzahn truly going to hand over play calling? Because once you get into a game, you know, there's usually one guy who actually calls the plays, but is it possible that he limits Chip Lindsey as far as a game plan is concerned? And you know, because I've tried to explain this before. You run the plays in a game that you practice during the week. So some fans will see a play week one or week two, like a very rare play, and then they'll say, why ain't we run that throwback week seven? They probably haven't practiced it again. And you're not just going to call something that you ran 8 weeks ago in a game that you prepared for that week, 7, 8 weeks later that you haven't been practicing again. You run the plays that you practice the week of the game. And I don't know if Gus Malzahn will step into the point of limiting what Chip Lindsey wants to insert, wants to run. And this goes for not just plays, but personnel decisions as far as who's playing where, personnel groupings. I mean, if there's a situation where Malzahn says, I don't want to use a tight end in this game, or I don't want to use Jalen Harris in this game, I want to use Prince Tega as our extra tackle. And Chip Lindsey might be saying to himself, man, I was hoping on some tight end routes would get open because their backside linebackers, you know, sneak up on the run. And I figured I could get our tight end over the top on some of those plays. So some of those things are very real and could be a hindrance to this team moving forward. That I don't care what anybody says. That is the question mark. That relationship as a whole is the question mark for Auburn this fall. How that's handled and managed for the entire season will determine if they're truly able to compete in the West or if they just get by the way they did a season ago. Because they have the talent, I believe, to be there heading into the Georgia game. And then we'll see at that point in time. What's Jacob Eason done? Is Nick Chubb healthy? Have some of the perimeter weapons for Georgia stepped up? Is that defense with all those returning starters really as good as people think? Is Trent Thompson back, healthy, ready to go? Then that could be a critical game for both of those teams. I mean, that could be almost a dual play-in game to Atlanta with Auburn still having work to do against Alabama, but having to win that one as well to get in. So that relationship is key. It's critical. It's a major key, as DJ Khaled would say, of the success that Auburn could or could not have this season.
Major key.
Major key alert. Let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets!
Brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. John C. at Rudy Slowstroke tweets in, at Cole Kublik. I can't listen to the show, but I was just wondering, which is softer? He has a Twitter poll here. Razorback Twitter or goose feathers? You've had that goose down.
I've never had.
Comforter or pillow I know it's... before. What?
Call make radio money. What do you like? Listen, I mean, it's pretty great money. It's not goose down feather money. Arkansas Twitter. Listen, I think all of these. I think Tennessee Falls, Vols Twitter, FSU Twitter. Like, if you say something bad against the Bama Twitter, or if you just don't. Well, Bama Twitter is a little different because Bama is this. If you mention someone else is good. Then they want to say, yeah, but us. That's where we get but Bama. But if you say something that's not 100% complimentary of them, you're going to get all the fan bases riled up against you. So I'm going to go with the Goose Down Feathers.
Okay.
Any of these schools' fan bases, is there even an Auburn Twitter?
Oh, sure.
Like, do enough people and Auburn fans care enough to, like, mount an uprising of some sort against somebody?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it.
Wayne Carter at RDC12345 tweets in one day ago at Arkishay, AU could have won the West? Question mark. Emoticon laughing face sideways. 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 If not for two injuries, emoticon laughing face crying. 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 And Gus giving up play calling. Emoticon laughing face crying. Emoticon laughing face crying. Emoticon laughing face crying. Emoticon laughing face crying. But he's an offensive genius.
Okay, so let's get to the words that were in that. Yeah, they could have won. If they had beaten Georgia, which they only lost 13-7, boy, that was a rough game to watch. But Auburn's been responsible for two of the roughest games I've ever had to watch as a football fan. That one and their Mississippi State game.
Yeah, that was bad.
And I don't appreciate Auburn doing that to football fans around the country, and especially to my eyeballs. But if Auburn beats Georgia, they're playing Alabama for a winner-take-all game to go to the West. Because both would have been 7-1 in the league if Auburn had even won that game, and Auburn would have got the tiebreaker.
B-Ren tweets in, this is the most hashtag Auburn poll of all time. The poll is, who will win the SEC West? Hashtag Cold Question Today, presented by Dreamland BBQ. We have it for the East and the West, two separate ones today. Currently, Alabama leads the poll 56% of the votes, just 34 in. Auburn at 41%, LSU at 3%. Mississippi State, your fourth team, has no votes.
What makes it still Auburn?
I'm not sure.
Just because they're in it? Just because they're an option?
I guess.
That's funny. That is funny.
He doesn't seem happy with the poll.
Well, they're just an option, that's all. I don't know how it makes it the most Auburn. Now, if you had said, who wins the West, Auburn, Daniel Carlson, Gus Malzahn, yeah, okay, I get that.
That might be a little bit different.
I don't know. Feels like it's just a question.
B-Ran tweets, they were leading when I tweeted that.
Oh.
Who?
Oh, the Auburn poll, I guess.
He said Auburn.
Well, Auburn was apparently winning the poll when the time he tweeted it. Now
he
Alabama's
said Auburn. They weren't an option.
I think you know exactly what that means.
I'm just reading tweets.
We're all Barn Radio. What do you think that means, Cole?
Bama B-Ritz tweets, no Arkansas, question not? Hashtag, why not?
Well, Cole seems to think they'll be the worst team in the SEC.
Yeah, Arkansas Twitter hates me right now. And McElroy.
Good. Well, listen.
How's McElroy going to tell me at dinner Wednesday night he agreed with me that Arkansas is going to be the worst team in the league, and then he comes on the show and says, I don't know about worst team in the league, but they will finish seventh in the West.
So it's very close. It works in the division, very close.
Listen, we're juggling bottom-of-the-barrel teams here. Missouri's got more dudes than Arkansas, in my opinion. Arkansas has a better coach than Missouri.
Man, I hope
right now.
I really hope Arkansas Twitter's not listening right now.
Missouri plays, even though we think most teams are going to be better, in an easier division. Would any of us argue that? No. The non-conference is about the same. So, therefore, Missouri, in my opinion, will probably have a little bit of a better record than Arkansas. Thus, Arkansas is your worst team in the league. It ain't hard to figure out.
Didn't Missouri also beat them last year?
Well, I don't think he was counting that.
Man,
it's like the guy who tweeted in the SEC West records the last few years and said, yeah, it's virtually impossible Arkansas could be seventh. They're 8-8 the last 2 years.
Well, that's
what
fine.
In the hell kind of logic is that?
But they legitimately lost to the worst team in the SEC last year. So, you know, anything's possible, right? I Like Pie tweets, do the Volunteers sustain any injuries during SEC Media Days? They are so young. That's legitimate.
Three straight 9-win seasons. Three straight bowl wins. Did you know they play three games the first 13 days of the season?
What?
I don't know if you knew that or not.
But they're so young. Hopefully they can stay healthy. Wouldn't the youth help, like, in that situation?
You would think so. Ray Sively shares a tweet with us. Brittany Wagner, @Brittany_MSGirl, tweets, 1 week from today, at Netflix, at Last Chance U. It's a, I want to say movie poster, but obviously it's not a movie, but it looks like one of Netflix original docuseries, oh. Last Chance U, season two.
A week from today?
July 31st, yeah.
Oh, that's a week from, 17 days away.
Her math is wrong then.
July 21st would be a week from today.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, it's the 31st.
No, July 21st.
21st is right then.
So 1 week from today. Are you excited about that, Buddy Stevens?
Yeah. Man, I
fighting officials.
I love that series.
If he doesn't
last
fight
year.
An official, then the show shouldn't have aired this year.
Cole, that is so wrong and so rude. Let him not fight officials. He's not going to fight an official this year. But I loved that series last year. I loved it. I am going to love it again this year. I feel pretty confident because this is my new real world. Like, I used to like Real World. And then, like, it got weird with the filming of it. Like, it started to look like Laguna Beach or the OC or something. Started to look, the filming of it looked like it was scripted. So I completely bailed out. This is my new real world. This is the reality show. Because I think sports is as little as you can sort of script things in general.
I like how you say, the real world, just like they did in the intro. The real world. San Francisco!
What do you think I'm doing here?
The real world. Austin!
I'm a professional real world lover. The real world.
New York!
Seattle!
How incredible is it that show worked to the extent that it did?
I just saw yesterday a preview for the Challenge 30.
Wow.
And there's like one dude that's been on like the 28 of them that's back again. He's like... Looks like he's in the mid-40s.
I'm not sure I even know what channel MTV is on my DirecTV anymore.
Well, that's too bad because you're missing some stuff. Like Teen Mom 2.
What?
What? Catfish is on that.
Teen Mom 2 sounds like a show you would watch.
I have watched. Don't lie to me. I'm telling you. I told you before, that's my guilty pleasure. I like Teen Mom.
Oh, no. I wasn't talking about it on your slingshot or whatever it is you watch TV on.
Sling TV. It's, you mean like whenever I would, you know, whenever I go into the dark web later at night when the wife's not around.
Okay, we will get to a break. Since we just went Gus Malzahn, we'll stick with our head coaches here on Cube Show from SEC Media Days yesterday. And when we return, we'll hear from Will Muschamp, South Carolina Gamecocks head football coach, right after this.
Go visit our friends at Phone Restore and PhoneRestore.com if you have issues with your phone, like the cracked screen that we all hate, or if your phone's not working quite right, or if your computer's not working quite right. Check them out at PhoneRestore.com and locally right here in beautiful Hunts, Vegas on 900 Bob Wallace Avenue. That's Phone Restore.
We visited with Will Muschamp yesterday afternoon at SEC Media Days. He was nice enough to stop by and give us a little bit of time. Here is our conversation from Hoover yesterday afternoon with the South Carolina Gamecocks head coach.
Glad to have South Carolina Gamecocks head football coach Will Muschamp on the show now. Coach, welcome back to Media Days. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well. Now, you work for Nick Saban, and one thing that people always like about Nick Saban is that he has done things in a manner that have forced rules to be changed. There's now a Will Muschamp rule in place. I saw you on set with the guys upstairs a little bit earlier. You take offense to the fact that people think this is because of you.
I do. The perception of who you are, as you know me as a person, and the reality of who you are, people see a glimpse of you for 3 hours on Saturday afternoon and just think you're a raving lunatic all the time. And that's not really true, as you know. But I never got a 15-yard penalty on me before. I've been blamed, and CBS said I did, but I didn't. If you can ask Steve Shaw, the penalty was not on me. And so I've been unfairly painted in a bad situation.
See, I can sympathize here with you, and I'm going to try to, I'll probably have to lower my voice here for a moment, but the restraint that you might have to show now, I had to show because your security guard that's showing you around today actually escorted me out of the TV area twice on Monday, grabbed me by the arm, and had to walk me out. So I had to kind of use the new SEC head coach restraint of staying over in the white and just staying in my lane and saying, all right, we're going to have to move on here and not say anything about it. So let's talk about this football team, Coach. I'm really excited about the offense. First things first. This is a widespread trend across the conference that talented, legitimate, draftable, all SEC candidate offensive linemen are switching positions. I mean, Auburn's got Braden Smith moving. Florida has Martez Ivey. Eric McCoy at A&M's going from center to guard. William Clapp at LSU's going to from guard to center. Your best offensive lineman is going to go from left guard to right tackle. Explain why you want to make that move.
Well, it's all about getting the best five on the field, and Zach's certainly one of our best five. All right, so where do we have another tackle that we feel comfortable with putting on the edge, which is extremely important? We didn't really have a good comfort level there. Let's try Zach, and let's see how it works. It worked extremely well. So, you know, as you know, you can't just bump out there and say, add water, instant player, and it's going to happen. That's not the way it works. But he moved out. He did an outstanding job. We felt like we had more players inside that could help us more in those situations, and that's the way it's kind of panned out. We've got good competition inside. We got good competition at both tackle positions.
Hayden Hurst is here with you guys. When I had the UMass game, Jake's first start, not a lot of buzz about him. He hadn't done a lot. I've stated this offseason, I think he's the best tight end returning, especially that no one's talking about. He and C.J. Conrad at Kentucky, I think, are the two best tight ends in the conference. But what does he do for you offensively? From a defensive standpoint, which is where you specialize, how does he stress a defense?
Well, he vertically can stretch the field. He's got outstanding ball skills. He's got a big-time catch radius. He also is a guy that can block at the point of attack. He's 255 pounds, so he can create some movement in the run game. But I think his strongest attributes is work ethic. This guy works. I mean, every time I walk in the weight room, he's in there. I mean, I don't know what he does for the rest of his day, but I mean, he works extremely hard. He's got a great work ethic, and he's extremely mature and driven. So he's a guy that brings a lot to our football team athletically. He brings a lot to our football team intangibly.
I bumped into some of the guys offset upstairs, and they said, Muschamp was talking about you. And I was like, oh, probably talking about the best scout team center he ever had. He said, oh, no. Apparently, he's upset that we go from Laura to Kaylee to Cole Kubelik.
Yeah.
And you're a little disappointed with that. I mean, offended.
No, I'm just asking what happened. Have we changed the profile of what we're looking for or what?
I don't fit that profile by any stretch of the imagination. Will Muschamp's with us, head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. Defensively, a lot of teams suffered a lot of big losses in this conference. The offenses seem like they're trending upward all across the league. I really enjoyed visiting with you last fall and just talking about where offensive football is going in this league and how you can't be as complicated as you used to could be. You can't do the glamorous things anymore because of the speed, the tempo, and really just the different formations that you get. Because of all the offense that seems to be coming back in this league, do you change your approach on that side of the football at all, defense?
To me, Cole, you got to prepare for the season. What's really hard for a defensive player and a defensive coach is you really only have a four-day practice window to get ready for a game. And we're going to face teams that are going to spread it out and run it like Gus does. We're going to face teams that spread it out and throw it. We're going to face teams that are going to run tempo. We're also going to face Arkansas, who's going to be a two-back traditional run team. Georgia's going to give you some of that. Vanderbilt's going to give you some of that. So in a four-day window, you're switching gears and going to a totally different schematic look to what your kids got to get used to and play well. So therefore, you've got to narrow down a little bit and say, okay, these are the things we're going to do well when they're in this, this, and this, and be able to practice those so your players aren't thinking they're reacting on the field.
Back when it maybe wasn't that way, your days when you were a GA under Bill Oliver, maybe just after that, I know probably not at Texas because you're in the Big 12, but what position has become more critical on that side of the ball that maybe wasn't 10, 15, 20 years? The buck linebackers at the nickel spot?
Well, I think as much as anything, it's hard to find two inside linebackers. Because right now in high school, and I don't blame them, my brother's a high school coach. All the guys that normally used to be playing linebacker are playing defensive end and rushing the passer. So then you've got to project a guy to see if instinctively he can play off the ball and play in space. You don't ever know till you coach the guy. That's the hard thing because he's not doing it in high school. Those guys are the guys, to me, that are the most difficult guys to find.
Sky Moore will be back for you guys. Speaking of inside linebackers, how does he change your defense from where it was in 2016?
Well, I think he brings a confidence to our guys, number one. He's a playmaker. He's been there before. He's got great experience. But Sky's got a little edge to him. I mean, he's got a little competitive edge to him that I think is awesome. And he's a guy that I'm excited about to be able to get him back on the field. He led us in tackles for 3 years. And he's been through a lot of adversity in this last year and a half. I mean, the guy's had football taken away from him with the injury, thought about coming out twice, gone through a coaching change. I mean, there's a lot he's gone through. So I'm extremely proud of him and how he's handled it. He's going to graduate in August. So there's a lot of positives out there for him. And for us to play well defensively, he needs to have a big year.
Will Muschamp, head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, with us. We sort of throw it around sometimes, coach's kid, and we make fun of kids, and obviously the coach's kid, obviously in Little League baseball, is always going to be the pitcher, yeah. Always going to be the quarterback, and sometimes it can be annoying. Skipping his senior year of high school, looking like he was going to redshirt, starting the last six games of the season, getting you guys to a bowl game, could Jake Bentley have done that if he wasn't a coach's kid?
I think so. I think that there's no question being around the ballpark, being in the locker room. My dad was a coach. I mean, that part of it, the verbiage, constantly hearing that, does it help? Absolutely. But I think at the end of the day, you got to have a burning desire to want to be good, and Jake's got that. And I don't think that has anything to do with what his dad's done. But certainly the exposure that he had to that at an early age, I think, has helped.
You played at Georgia, and you've been around the league. Has this job and what comes with it, the fan base, the surroundings, just what being the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks is, has that exceeded your expectations?
No, I think that I love the passion that every school that I've worked at, having played at Georgia, being at South Carolina, Florida, LSU, Auburn. I mean, all places that have unbelievable fan bases and support, and I love the passion that they all have.
Will Muschamp with us. You bring all offensive players here. Should that tell us anything about what you expect your team to be this fall?
We had a bunch of conflicts as far as test and class are concerned with some of our other guys. We have some guys that are certainly deserved to be here, but it just wasn't going to work out. And as I said upstairs, last time we brought our defensive guys to Birmingham, it didn't go real good.
How do you treat that decision? Is it a reward? Is it maybe guys that you need? For example, Jake Bentley, is this a situation where he needs to feel some of the pressure? He needs to feel how intense maybe things are going to be. Get him experience around the media, answering questions, knowing what people are talking about. What's Will Muschamp's mindset of selecting the guys that will come?
Of these three guys, Jake Bentley and Deebo Samuel split the vote for MVP of last year's team. Players voted for it right down the middle. Hayden Hurst was the first sophomore in school history to be elected a team captain and the only underclassman last year returning as a permanent team captain. That meant an awful lot to me.
Sure.
The respect that they have of their teammates. I think it is a reward to be able to come over here and represent our program and our university. But I also look at it from a media standpoint. They want to talk to the quarterback.
Of course.
Regardless of what year he is, they want to talk to the quarterback. Deebo Samuel is a very productive player for us. I think he's earned the opportunity to come here. And Hayden Hurst is a captain of our team. Only returner, I think, says a lot about the respect he has of his teammates and a guy that I'm expecting a big year from. So I think a lot of those things go into my mindset as far as that's concerned. And certainly these three guys have represented us in a fine way.
Coach, we appreciate the time. It's always good to catch up. Thank you very much.
Great to see you.
Absolutely.
I'll see you on the sideline.
Hopefully you won't be frowning when you see me coming off. You know, it is kind of crazy to, at this point in the season, 2017 hasn't even begun yet, but you look down that roster for the South Carolina offense, Jake Bentley, sophomore, Rico Dowdle, sophomore, your two tight ends, Casey Crosby and Hayden Hurst, both juniors, Deebo Samuel's a junior wide receiver, Brian Edwards is a sophomore wide receiver, Zach Bailey, who I'm extremely high on at guard, now moving to tackle, is a junior, Malik Lung, the opposite tackle, is a junior.
This could be – this 2018 South Carolina offense could be spectacular if they can keep some of these guys around. I think Hayden Hurst has to leave. He's a minor league baseball guy. He's like 26 years old. So he probably needs to go ahead and go if he has the kind of year that we think he'll have this year. But this is the way you do it if you're a Will Muschamp. Get young guys who can play. Go ahead and get them inserted into your lineup and begin to build. He feels like he's doing that. He seemed very comfortable yesterday. I don't want to call it false confidence, but he just seemed very comfortable with what he has returning and what his team is probably going to be.
Yeah, after he left our set, we sat there for a second, and I asked you, does he seem more confident, more comfortable with where he's at than we've seen in the past? And I think it's true, and I think he just sort of is starting to really get it. You know, he realizes it's not all a giant attack on his program. I mean, listen to what he said about Jake Bentley and the reason you bring Jake Bentley. He said, the media wants to talk to the quarterback. It doesn't matter what year it is. They want to talk to the quarterback. And I wish more coaches just sort of got that and just understood that. But everyone's trying to send a message to their team or to their fan base or to media members to say, hey, we don't know who our guy is or blah, 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 blah. We don't want them to get a false sense of confidence, blah, 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 blah. Everyone can win the job, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that becomes a story once you get past media days, especially if, like, Jake Bentley, let's say, for example, had lost the job to somebody. It's not going to be a story past that first week. Like, sure. Oh, what about you brought him to media days. I mean, it's just an event to showcase your program. It's not your depth chart. Like, you're not having to reveal anything there. You can go through it like Hugh Freeze and Ed Orgeron did, but you're not revealing anything there. It's a media event. Why not be more conscious of the media? Listen, as much as Cole loves offensive linemen, we don't need an offensive lineman from every school. Or we don't need two of them from every school. Give me your three.
Are you sure?
Give me your three most interesting players, and one of them should be the quarterback.
Absolutely. There's no question.
You can give me a wide receiver if they like to talk, a defensive back if they like to talk, a defensive tackle, and give me anybody that likes to talk. But I don't know why we have to send messages. I think it's because this becomes over-scrutinized, that coaches don't want to be over-scrutinized for nothing. But they don't have to worry about scrutiny. I mean, really, it's not gonna matter. It's not going to matter to the team who goes to media day, depending on if you can vote on it as a team or if you can earn it, so on and so forth. It's just, to me, I wish more people got it in that sense as far as media days is concerned.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. All right, great stuff there with Will Muschamp. We really appreciate Gus Malzahn and Will Muschamp stopping by to spend some time with us yesterday. We're going to continue rolling with some of our highlights from SEC Media Days yesterday. Do we have time to get Steve Shaw in after our next break?
No, but we can get them both in the 9 o'clock hour.
All right, we'll get them both into the 9 o'clock hour. Steve Shaw and Gary Stokoe, the last two we have left.
That's it.
Yeah, so two good ones coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Back with more Cube Show next.
Hey.
Show Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. We will update you on our Cole questions of the day presented by Dreamland Barbecue. Go to dreamlandbbq.com. Currently, who will win the SEC West? The media vote will be released today from SEC Media Day. So we'll get the all SEC teams, offense and defense, first, second, third. Honorable mention, get as many guys in there as we can.
Other guys, there were also options, but you didn't choose.
And we'll get the predicted order of finish in the East and West and the SEC predicted champion. Our poll says Alabama has a 58% chance of winning the SEC West. Also, Auburn coming in with 36% of the vote, LSU and Mississippi State, 3% of the vote. Who will win the SEC East? Our cold question is today, presented by Dreamland Barbecue. Go to dreamlandbbq.com. Florida dominating at 58% of the vote. A little more spread out. Georgia 27, Kentucky 9, Tennessee 6% of the vote. So, looks like Florida-Bama again.
Well, 3 in a row is not bad.
No, it should be fun again.
So. Hey, we got Billy Gardell coming in studio in 6 minutes.
Looking forward to that. We'll take a break and come back and talk some comedy next right here on Cube Show.